This morning's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Anne. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be thinking about what it means to just walk across the room. What a strange thing to think about. But I hope we will form the habit of becoming people who just walk across rooms. Hopefully this will become clear as we go on. It's based on a book by Bill Hybels entitled Just Walk Across the Room. I think it was back in the 1980s that Bill, or 90s, that he wrote that. Anybody familiar with the book? Just Walk Across the Room, one or two. I want to tell you a story to begin with, because this story was the basis for the title of the book and forms the basis really of the book itself. So I guess for a few minutes, just sit back and listen to the story. A well-known American Christian leader and author tells the following story. He says, sometime before Christmas, I was invited to a very unusual dinner in a southern city. When I was seated around the table in a hotel ballroom, I could tell this was going to be an interesting dinner, because the people around the table were very diverse by profession, ethnicity, colour, the whole thing. And as we were instructed, we went round the table one by one, and we explained who we were, what we did for a living. It was a very interesting group that was around my table. And directly across from me, maybe there were 10 people at my table, there was a large African-American gentleman. And when he said his name, it was distinctly Muslim. I thought that was interesting. Then the next person went, and then the next person, and we started our meal. And this African-American Muslim, at one point in the meal, made eye contact with me and just kind of mouthed the words, "Love your books." So I looked over my shoulder to see if there was another author in the room. I said, "Me?" He said, "Yeah, you." He said, "We'll talk later." I really thought that he had me confused with someone else. So after dinner, he pulls me off to the side and he said, I understand this is probably a little confusing because you assume I am a Muslim. I said, I try not to assume anything in situations like this. He said, well, let me tell you a little story. I have been a Muslim my whole adult life. Being an African-American Muslim in a southern city and being in the profession that I am in, it has not been easy. I, as you can imagine, have struggled in a lot of social settings. He said, in the profession I am in, we have a lot of cocktail parties and a lot of evening events. And the natural course for me, the natural pattern for me, is to go to one of those parties that I have to go in my profession. I am served a drink and I try to make contacts in the room. Inevitably, I wind up standing alone at most parties until it is time when I can leave. I think we've all been in similar situations where we are with a crowd of people and we just don't fit in for whatever reason. And so we might just scroll on our phone and kind of masking really how we're feeling and then just leave as soon as we can. He said, one night I was at another of those parties. I had a drink in my hand and I was standing alone. There were groups of people all around the room talking and I wasn't included. But again, I had become pretty much accustomed to that. I see this guy on the other side of the room, and he is in the middle of a conversation with people of his own color, his own kind. And he looks away from the group, and he sees me standing alone on the other side of the room. He said, it was the strangest thing. He excused himself from that conversation, and he walked all the way across the room. And he stuck out his hand and introduced himself to me and asked my name. I told him, and we just had the most pleasant conversation. It was easy. We talked about our mutual profession, family, business, sport, all these sort of things. Eventually it got round to faith. And I told him I was a Muslim. And I was just waiting for the shutters to go up, but he came straight back at me and told me he was a Christ follower. But truth be told, he knows almost nothing about Islam. He wondered if I would do him the courtesy over breakfast, maybe next week or something. Could you explain to me why you committed yourself to Islam? If you can give me just the bare essentials of what that faith system is all about, that would be pretty interesting to me. The guy said I almost fainted, but I took him up on it. We had breakfast and we had a ball. The Christian really didn't know anything about Islam, and I told him all about it. We decided to meet the next week and then the next week. And then he said, I started to get curious, because he was such a good listener. And all that, he said, I really didn't know that much about Christianity. So I said at that point in the series of breakfasts, would you explain to me about Christianity? He said, it all happened so easily and respectfully and sensitively. To cut a long story short, many months later, I determined that Christianity was the superior faith system. And I committed myself to Jesus Christ. And it has just made this unbelievable change in my life. I am part of a church now. And that is where I came across some of the books that you have written. I am in a leadership position in the church. And I can't tell you the difference it has made in my life and in the life of my family. That all happened because someone stepped away from their circle of comfort or circle of friends, walked across a room, struck up a conversation. He says it's not rocket science, but it's amazing the life-changing difference it can make. So that's what we're going to explore over the next 4 weeks. What does it mean for us? I'm guessing we don't go to many cocktail parties. So it's not that context. What does it mean for us to walk across the room? What does it mean for us to excuse ourselves from our circle of friends? What does it mean to us to be looking outwards? How can we be that kind of people? In many ways, that's what Philippians 2 is all about. So let's go back to that, and I'll read the first few verses. You know, if anybody stepped across a room, I guess we call it the cosmos, don't we? It was Jesus. Therefore, Paul writes, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. In other words, he's saying, if Christ has made any difference in your life, I think that's what he's been saying, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, you've come to believe in Jesus, you've been united with him, now live like him. Well, live like him. Well, you know, Jesus didn't have to leave heaven, did he? He didn't have to do that. Here on earth, he didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to do that either. He didn't have to go to the cross. He had no sins. Everything he did was for the benefit of others. That step across the cosmos, all the way to the cross, everything was for others. We are to have the same mind, the same attitude as Jesus. Now, Paul goes then on to kind of unpack what that looked like for Jesus. I just want to kind of highlight three aspects of that. So, the first one in verse 6. Although Jesus shared the same nature as God, he did not think of equality with God as something to be grasped. And so, in order to take this step across the cosmos, Jesus had to let go of things. There was a letting go that had to take place. See, when you grasp onto something, you hold it tight, don't you? You're grasping it. You've got your fist clenched. You're holding as tight as you can. Well, Jesus didn't do that with his divine nature. He didn't hold on to that. He didn't hold on to life in heaven, where everything is good, where everything is as it should be. Instead, he let go of all of that so he could come to earth and unite himself with humanity and do the Father's will. And all of that for our benefit. He lets go of all the privileges that were rightfully his. We always talk about, don't we, our comfort zone, our kind of security, our circle of friends. I think we know what we mean by that. And it's usually a very small circle. You know, our comfort zone, the people we feel very comfortable around. For Jesus, the circle of comfort would have been heaven, where everything, as I say, was good, everything was right, everything was as it should be, and yet he left it behind. He left it behind to serve the needs of others. Second point we can make, verse 7, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. By the way, I should say there's nothing wrong with having a circle of friends or a kind of comfort circle of friends that we feel comfortable around. In fact, it's a great thing. I think we all need that, don't we? We need places, and we probably have places that we feel comfortable in and people we feel comfortable around. That is a good thing. But it can become a bad thing, in fact, a dangerous thing, if you're never prepared to step outside of that. That's when it becomes a dangerous thing. Jesus let go of it, didn't he? And it's very often when we let go of it, when we step outside our comfort zone, that God does his best work. Because you and I become more vulnerable, and I guess we're taking a risk, we're more open, and God often does his best work when we step outside our comfort zone. What did it mean for Jesus? He made himself nothing, took on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I guess it meant identifying himself with us. Look, you and I are already there, aren't we? Well, at least I think most of us are human. What does it mean for us? I think it means for us to listen to the Holy Spirit, to the nudges, to the pulls, to the pushes of the Spirit, pushing us outward. The promptings of the Spirit. Are we in tune with that? So if the Spirit says, go and speak to the person over there, are we quick to respond, or are we just oblivious to that? Are we not even listening? What does it mean for us? Are we going to be the kind of people who listen to what the Spirit says and follow through? One other point we can make, verse 8, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is what it meant for Jesus to take this step across the cosmos. It would take him to the cross, wouldn't it? No, when we take a risk by making an effort to get to know someone perhaps we don't know so well, there can be a price to pay. We don't know how people will respond. There could be a negative response. We're stepping into the unknown, aren't we? For Jesus, he wasn't stepping into the unknown. He knew what lay ahead, and yet he still took that step. The challenge, I think, for us, are we prepared to give it a go? Are we prepared to step outside those comfort zones for the benefit of others? We will never suffer in the way, of course, cheat the way Jesus did. Whatever price we pay will be nothing compared to what he paid. You know, he was despised, he was ridiculed, he was abandoned by his own disciples. Even his father turned away from him, physically, emotionally, spiritually tortured. All for you and for me. I want to finish by kind of asking the question, what should motivate us to step outside our little comfort zones? Only one answer to that, really. Love. Love should take us outside our comfort zone. Love for others. I guess ultimately love for God being demonstrated in love for others. I guess there's all sorts of things that can motivate us. Guilt can motivate us, and I can certainly stand up here and try to put you on a bit of a guilt trip. You know, if you don't do this, you're not much of a Christian. You know, call yourself a Christian. And you're so insular and you never tell anyone about Jesus. The only thing with a guilt trip, it just doesn't work. It never does it? Because if you feel something's hard enough, you're struggling to do something even though you want to do it, to have guilt on top of that, you're just going to plummet, you're going to sink, you're not going to get very far. Our motivation must be love. What motivated Jesus to take that step across the cosmos when he didn't have to do it? It was love that took him. It was love that enabled him to let go and to leave and to face up to the consequences of that horrific event on the cross. Do we love people enough to leave what is our comfort zones, our security circles? It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for me, I'm sure it's a challenge for all of us. But I hope we will be the kind of people who are so outward looking, because we're kingdom building people. We're building his kingdom. We're reflecting who he is and all that he's done by leaving heaven and coming to earth for us. And so therefore we live our lives for the benefit of others. There are generally three rooms I think we all walk into. Now I don't mean bathroom or, you know, living room or whatever. There are three rooms I think we all generally walk into. Room number one that I often walk into, where I have no friends. Some of you are not looking too surprised at that. I walk into a room and I have no friends whatsoever. A bit like the Muslim friend that we read about. These are very awkward rooms. Have you been in one of those rooms? And you walk in and you don't know anyone, and everybody else is chatting away in little twos and threes or whatever, and you don't know anyone. And so you're scrolling on your phone just to try to, you know, mask how you're really feeling. Room number one. Second room I walk into from time to time. Again, I have no friends. But I'm aware that I'm not the only one who has no friends. There are also one or two others who are standing alone. And so at least I have the opportunity to go and shake hands with someone or introduce myself to someone, because we're kind of in the same boat. And maybe you've been in room number two. Anyone been in room number two? Where you feel a little bit, it's not easy, but, you know, I'll go and say hello to this person because they're on their own as well. And then, of course, there's room number three, where I have lots of friends. And it's very pleasant, and it's very comfortable, and it's very natural conversation. You know, and we just talk about all sorts of things, and nothing, and maybe some deep things, but just conversation just flows. And these are great rooms to be in, aren't they? We love those rooms. What is the best room of those three? Is it the third room? I think most of us, unless we're feeling very strange, I think most of us would say room three is the best room to be in. What is the most dangerous room to be in? Sorry? Room three? Sue's on the boil here. You're quite right. Room three would be the most dangerous, because we'd be less inclined to look outwards, because we're comfortable, we're safe, we're secure, we're enjoying the conversation. It's great, you know? That's what I'm here for. And we can be blind to the person just over there. I'm not saying that we're not interested, but we can be blind to that, to the needs of someone else. I'm glad Jesus wasn't blind to us. He took that step, didn't he? What a colossal step. And what a very costly step. Left everything behind. Stepped out of that comfort zone, all the accolades of heaven, all the praise, endless, you know, intimacy with his Father. We just cannot even imagine. Purity, love, and he just left it all behind. He just kind of turned his back on it. Because I love them. Will we do the same? Will we be that kind of people? For the sake of his kingdom, that we will learn more and more about what it means to look outward and what it means. It's not that, as I say, a little circle of friends is great and we all need that. But be prepared to step outside as well. Look around you. Listen to the promptings of God's Spirit. Who's he saying to you? Go and introduce yourself to. It's a challenge, isn't it? Just to walk across the room. But it could change someone's life. Okay, we are going to sing. a very upbeat song, Colours of Day. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to leave everything behind, to step away from it, and to step into our messy world. Lord, we cannot begin to imagine. We know there was a horrendous cost involved in that. And yet we are to have the same attitude. And so we ask for your help, Lord. Lord, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit, whom you've promised that you would fill us afresh and equip us and send us out that we might be more and more this kind of people who has the godly courage to step into someone else's life with your love. Would you help us, Lord, we pray. We do pray your blessing on us, Lord, throughout this day. Thank you for the food that we are going to share together, for those who have prepared it. Lord, bless us as your people, as we offer ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.